Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, I'm on it. I'm learning how to use a computer.
This is great. This is a great development.
This is how there was a time, and I think everyone can relate, there was a time in my life where I was at the forefront of all new technology.
You were ahead of the technology.
Do you remember this time in your life?
Yes.
You knew it.
Of course.
You were burning CDs.
Oh my God. I thought I was, people would ask me, Joe, could you burn a CD? Because they knew I had a CD burner. I was so happy when my parents got a computer with a CD burner. Of course I'll burn a CD.
You knew what was up with the internet?
Yep.
You knew how to get on?
I knew to stop my parents from buying CD players that wouldn't that wouldn't play the burn CDs. Like, guys, it's a waste of money. That's why it's so cheap. Look what you're doing to yourselves.
I knew it all.
Yes.
Set up a computer. People would ask me, hey, can you set up my computer
Brian,
for me?
I fixed a computer when I was a kid. Fixed. A compact Pesario my parents had put away because they thought it was trash. I opened the board up, found the problem, ripped it out. I had a computer in my room because of it.
Look at this. Now I don't know anything.
No. It's just like with current music. I don't know much current music anymore.
Now I don't. I mean, I'm just.
I used to be ahead of it.
I used to be ahead of it, and now I can't do a simple thing. But I did figure out how to. So I was trying to figure out how could I make I need a 10-mile radius around my house, and how can I, pinpoint that on a map.
Yeah.
And, I figured out how to do it. All I have to do is Google it.
And then
it does it right away for you. So what I came up with, Joe, is Grand Island, no. By Niagara Falls, a little bit north. Lewiston is okay. Ransomville's okay. But anywhere like South Lockport, Eggertsville, Kenmore, North Buffalo, Williamsville, Cleve Hill area, parts of East Amherst, Wheatfield. I promise I'll explain what I'm talking about in a minute. Shawnee, Sanborn, all these areas, all of Grand Island. I mentioned that the town of Tonawanda, that is off limits.
Okay.
That is off limits for building this brand new nuclear power plant.
And why is that off limits?
Well, so I'm thinking that 10 miles is about, from my research of Three Mile Island.
Okay.
10 miles is about the radius where they did about 10 miles out. And it really depends on where the wind blows. But the difference between observed and expected cancer rates in the 10-mile area around Three Mile Island, everything I read says like 10 miles is, what they look like for the impact. So I figured if it was 10 miles away, that I'd be okay.
Okay. And are you 10 miles away?
Well, from all the, not from any of those places
right,
I just those listed.
Those places are the places that you...
That's within my 10-mile radius.
I get it. Okay.
So anywhere outside of my 10-mile radius, I'd say I'm okay with it. I'd actually like to kick that out to like 15 to...
Yeah.
Maybe even 20.
Yeah. You are with the nuclear energy as people on the boulevard are with the train.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing it, just not down my street.
Exactly. Okay. I love the idea. Not here.
Right, of course.
But that's a great idea.
Yeah.
This is why this announcement yesterday has everybody in New York City. She might get 100% of the New York City vote, well, Long Island too,
yeah,
for Kathy Hochul, who announced yesterday that the state wants to turn to nuclear power. Basically, the announcement is they're directing NYPA to add at least 1 gigawatt of new nuclear power production. And they want to build a large nuclear power facility, which would be the first one in the U.S. I'm not an expert on this, but I believe it would be the first one in the U.S. in more than 15 years.
All right.
It would have the power to power about a million homes, which is pretty significant. Yeah. Like, that's great.
A million homes, that's more than Erie County.
And the plan is to build it somewhere, quote, upstate.
Of course.
So everyone in New York City loves this idea.
Yeah.
You're going to create clean power that power a million homes. We're going to have all this power, and you're not going to do it here? That's a win-win for them.
It's a big win. Manhattan Kathy showing her true colors.
Well, I like the idea. I just don't like it in the backyard.
Yeah, and for that, I want to be fair to people. Because I wouldn't want it in my backyard for obvious reasons, I'm not. I mean, this is just like when we talked about the small reactor they wanted to put in North Tonawanda. I think it makes people feel uncomfortable. And why, I just don't want to make people in any radius, even if it's not my house, feel uncomfortable. And I think if you're in the area that this will be put in, right, if it's selected near you, I think you'd feel uncomfortable. And I just don't think that's fair to do to our fellow statemates.
Mm.
Eh. As I then will also say, let's put a train down the boulevard. So, you know, I think it's a little different, though. We're talking nuclear energy, and we know what happens when it's not handled right. I mean, how many documentaries are there on nuclear energy gone bad? And that's why, to me, it's just
Thing. Where, you know, everything works just as planned, they don't get made into documentaries that much. It's funny.
My point is there's enough
Titan
to make.
The Titan submarine, they never made a documentary on this until it imploded. And now there's two movies out, like, within 2 weeks of each other.
By the way, it is interesting, though. They did. Remember the guy was going to go down, and then they said they couldn't go that day. He had to sign that contract. They were just sitting on that, and then all of a sudden, when it did implode,
All
of a sudden, CBS had all this. We were going to do this story on 60 Minutes, and they had all this.
They talked to a guy in the movie. Now we're getting sidetracked. But they talked to a guy in the movie who was going to do an episode of, you know, one of these Discovery Channel or something like that shows.
In the Titan?
In the Titan. And they went down there. They filmed a bunch of stuff. He went in for a little ride, and they pulled him back up. They didn't go as deep as they were. And then he said to the producers in the network, he's like, we can't put this on the air. Like, these guys are going to kill somebody. And they never aired the episode.
Wow. And they have the video from what they were.
They got the video from, and they're talking to the host of the show. It was just like, I can't advertise this in any way.
This is the HBO one?
Yeah.
All right.
Got to watch it now. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. You were like Mr. Titan.
I know. I've been a busy guy, Brian. I've been a busy guy.
How many Mets games have you watched in the last 2 weeks?
All right. Well, talk about depressing.
On the text board, now we want to hear from you, 803-0930. And you can send a text on our Volkswagen Vortex Park text board or give us a call. Somebody texted him, so Brian is a NIMBY. Yes, you are correct.
By the way, and Brian has been very vocal about him being a NIMBY.
Yes.
I mean, that is no secret that he has made on this show.
I am. And, you know, for that reason, I am what's wrong with a lot of areas, and I will fully admit to that. Yes, I am a NIMBY. Not in my backyard. I don't want nuclear power. However, if you wanted to put it, as I pull up my map, within a 10-mile radius.
Brian's print this map out.
If you wanted to put it in, like, Lancaster, I think I'd be okay with it.
No.
Hamburg is fine.
I would not be okay with Lancaster, by the way.
No. Okay, so that's just, in yours? Yeah,
I'm just telling you.
How about this, though? What about in Darien Center?
By Darien Lake?
Yes, Joe. A nuclear-themed theme park.
No. I don't want that close to the water park.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Chlorine.
I mean, my favorite part of Darien Lake is the water park. I do not want that. I will get mad at people when they're NIMBYs about like something like the train. Like I said, I will talk about that all day. I can understand not wanting nuclear energy in your backyard, and because I wouldn't want it in my backyard for that reason. These kind of things make me uncomfortable.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
I call me dumb, uneducated, whatever. Put that in a promo. it just makes me feel uncomfortable when this kind of stuff's talked about because of the negative issues. Brian, yes, I know a higher percentage have been successful than not, but that once it's put in there, that chance exists that didn't exist before.
I don't want them to use this show in a documentary in the future. Right, what did the governor have to say announcing this project yesterday? Let's listen in.
The supply chain opportunities that are going to come here all over the state. But to power this one facility, Micron is going to need so much power, so much incredible power. And there's only one commercially viable option that can deliver that much clean, renewable, reliable power. And that's what's been operating in New York for decades. Nuclear energy. Harnessing the power of the atom is the best way to generate steady zero emission electricity and help this transmission, which we are into. We want to have this transition from fossil fuels. I'm committed to it. You've heard all the projects I'm working on. I am proud to announce that I'm directing the New York State Power Authority to develop and construct a brand new advanced nuclear plant in upstate New York. Announcing that here today, and we're going to get it done.
She said the plan is to build it somewhere upstate.
We're already identifying potential host communities across upstate New York. And let me tell you, only receptive, welcoming communities will be considered. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Because the communities that already host them know these are good paying, long-term jobs. And the benefits to the community are also extraordinary.
Well, only welcoming communities. And I guess that's one of the questions. Do you live in a welcoming community, do you think? 803-0930, would you welcome in the nuclear power to your 10-mile radius, as I've put it out? Now, George Borrello said he wants it at the former NRG plant in Dunkirk. I'd be fine with that, I think.
Yeah.
I actually, as much as I, you know, say no 10-mile radius for me, I kind of want it like 20 miles, I said, might be a sweet spot because I might want a job there.
You're looking for a job at the nuclear plant?
I mean, it probably pays pretty well at the nuclear plant.
It does, but again, what are the health
effects? Homer could do it.
No, Homer worked at the fake reactor. Do you remember that episode?
Yeah.
It turned out to be the
fake. But you remember the one where he stopped the meltdown?
That's true. That's true. Yes.
Let's see how you did it. And they bring everyone there. It's like, eeny, meeny, miny. All right. What? Yeah, that could be me.
I just, you know, it's this big push away from fossil fuels, which I'm, you know, I have a problem with to begin with. But don't we have hydrogen energy, right? We have energy from water, right? We have energy from wind. That didn't work out too well.
Hydropower is different from hydrogen energy.
Hydropower, yes. Yeah. You get what I meant. I just, again, it's part of this move away from fossil fuels. And it's, so, unless you can assure me 100%. Nothing will go wrong. If we can get to that point with nuclear energy, then I'm all for it. I don't care how small the risk is. You are putting a part of the state at risk that currently right now is not at a bad risk. I know it's what, 1-2% chance, but it's a chance that didn't exist before. And that's where my issue is. And what does it do to the soil around it? All that kind of stuff, Brian, are the issues I have.
I'm listening to I didn't buy the book, so I can't be an expert. When you listen to a book, you don't really get it all in.
But that is true.
I'm listening to that Midnight in Chernobyl, the book all about the Chernobyl disaster, and there were quite a bit of misstep, you know, in order for that to actually happen. A lot of wrong turns were made, and a lot of bad decisions were made too. So, you know, to say that that's, but it's the one thing we all remember. Like, it is the thing that we all think of when we think of nuclear. And there's also the question of what happens to the waste, right? Like, there is still a byproduct. They haven't, like, totally eliminated that. So what exactly happens? And I don't think, you know, do we learn from our mistakes? We're not going to bury it under ground and then build a Love Canal neighborhood
right
over it. But, you know, what is the plan? My favorite text on our board so far, Joe, is this one, though. By the time New York grants all the permits and then construction, we'll all be in nursing homes, so you don't have to worry. And maybe that's just where I should leave it.
That is a really good point.
Right? Like,
how old are you, Texter, though?
But no, I think that might apply to us.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, by the time anything gets done, the environmental review to change the stripes on a road, we've gone 10 years and they can't get the Skajakwita right. And I'm expected to believe we're going to do a nuclear power plant. And it took 4 years for the smallest train station in New York, and a nuclear power plant is going to happen this decade. Maybe I shouldn't hold my breath for that new job.
But let me ask you this. With all the advancements we have, do you think there will be a day where the byproduct is safely gotten rid of? Or, this might sound dumb, there is no byproduct. I mean, does that day exist where the risk is zero to nuclear energy?
Probably.
Okay, so why don't we wait for that?
We got AI. We just ask it.
Well, AI
it's
also
smarter than us.
AI also said the Braves were going to win the World Series this year, and they're 12 games out. So,
well, you know, I mean, we just like feed it to like one big radioactive fish or something. Can't we do that?
Is that how we try it?
Just like feed all the nuclear waste.
I think
waste
PETA might have an issue with that.
It's just one fish.
Well,
just make a big
until that fish is gone.
Crazy fish monster out of it. We'll go over to the text board. How many people in the community have to say no before they look elsewhere? 99.8%, somebody was asking. Look, in North Tonawanda, I don't think we're a welcoming community in North Tonawanda because we were talking about a mini nuclear reactor, which is in use in other places around the state, and they were talking about using that at the Bitcoin facility.
That's right.
And people overwhelmingly said, whoa, like, no thank you, and they put a moratorium on any new power facilities in the area. And that was over the mini. So I think big nuclear plant, I think we've already said, no, thank you.
Yeah. I remember the calls we got for that from the North Tonawanda thing they were going to do. No one was for it.
Yeah. Dave in Niagara Falls. Dave, you're on WBEN. What are you thinking?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Dave.
I mean, this whole idea raises a bunch of questions, especially for the residents that had to give up their land and how they were treated back when the original power authority came in Niagara Falls, Niagara County. Especially the Native Americans for all the land that they flooded out and people lost their land. You know, we go and build this, New York State, I should say, goes and builds this beautiful facility. How are they going to subsidize the residents in as far as electricity costs like they should have already? In light of now she wants to push, you know, no fossil fuels and everything's electric. Well, how about the Niagara County residents receive some of that money that the state has generated for their own pockets by selling all that power out of state?
Dave, we're up against a break, but I love your call because you have a point. I mean, speak about 10-mile radius. How about anyone within 10 miles of... You know, the Niagara power plant gets free power. And that's what should happen. You know, what benefit to the community would there be? That should be one of them.
Would you trade off the small risk for free energy?
Yeah, I might. Add in the jobs. And now you're talking. Like, now you're talking about real community benefit.
Dave.
That you could bring somewhere in Western New York. What do you think? 803-0930, all that plus... What's the rudest thing you can do on a cell phone?
Oh.
Don't know if you saw this, but we'll talk about that too. B-Maz and Beamer coming up next on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer together and back on WBEN. Of course, Joe will be back later on this evening. Live election night coverage. Primary night.
That's right.
You can't really call it election night.
No.
It is an election.
Primary night. Certain candidates win. I think you can probably guess what's happening in November. Other candidates win. It's going to be a very competitive November,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it'll be interesting, and all the results as they come in.
And by the way, also keeping an eye on Amherst and Hamburg. There's open seat primaries in those two towns, but we'll have every primary.
What do you think of, I know you'll be talking about this, you won't really get the results tonight, but New York City, this race, really fascinating. The former governor, Andrew Cuomo, had... in some polls a month ago, I mean, if you go back even further, the lead was even bigger. But just 4 weeks ago, it was up like 12 points in the polls. And now it's on election day. It is neck and neck. I mean, they're virtually tied in all the polls. Now he's running. I loved how now I have to find where it was, but Axios this morning put the race. And they said something along the lines of it's like a 67-year-old scandal-ridden insider versus a 33-year-old communist, or, you know, like basically how they put it. It is a really interesting race that is going to reverberate through the Democratic Party for the next 4 years, you'd have to imagine.
Yes.
Putting politics aside, I feel like everybody has to kind of tip the cap here to now I'm pretty sure I've been pronouncing this name the right way throughout most of the night, but Mondani.
Yeah.
I mix up the two. Well, Cuomo did it too on the debate
exactly.
stage. So yeah. So I'm not alone on that.
No.
You have to tip the cap for the campaign.
Oh yeah.
That he's run. I think he's run one of the best campaigns I've seen anybody run, you know, in any election in recent memory. Were you watching this, you know, he walked the length of Manhattan?
Is that the one where you walked with AOC?
I don't think AOC.
No? Okay.
But he's got, like, crowds of people
yeah.
that follow him along, and they're, like, cheering him on. Like, that kind of stuff, like that door-to-door, and then, you know, he gave a quote to somebody, you have the reporters dipping in and out. Following along, and he said something along the lines of like, hey, look, I'm the New York City mayor. I should be able to walk the streets and then you can, you know, say hi or yell at me about something that's wrong. And, you know, I'm here. And I just thought like, wow, that's just such a perfect thing, especially in this race where you're contrasted with somebody who kind of has this idea of, you know, he sits in an ivory tower somewhere yes. and rules over all of whatever he's a part of.
With his Emmy Award.
Yeah.
I think Mamdani is pretty radical. I'm giving him he's ran a great campaign for New York City. I do wonder, and this is a question I'll ask tonight, 7 o'clock, because we'll have Jack O'Donnell and Carl Calabrese, and obviously our focus is here, but I'll ask about this as well. Is Eric Adams looking at this as, wow, if this radical leftist wins, do I actually have a chance now in November?
No.
You don't think so?
No. No.
He might think so, though.
Well, he thinks he has a chance right now.
That's true.
I don't think he has a chance at all. Because Cuomo would still be on the ballot in November, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's...
I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure both might be on the November ballot under different party lines. So this is almost like a teaser.
And remember, it's ranked choice. And I wonder, in a very tight race like this has become, who's benefiting from the ranked choice? Who gets more second place?
I think the Mamdani does.
You think so?
Because there's more candidates that are, not Andrew Cuomo.
That's
know what
true.
I mean? Like, I feel like you kind of like Cuomo or you don't. And he doesn't strike me as somebody who's like, oh, you know, I like this guy. But if he doesn't win, I hope Cuomo does.
That's a good point.
I think you're kind of on board or you're not with him.
Yeah. I mean, I watched one of the NBC4 debate, and to me, again, this is coming from someone upstate, but to me, I mean, I think all are pretty more radical than the Democrats we have here in Buffalo. But I think you're absolutely right. What happens in this race will definitely be a defining point for the Democratic Party, especially the Democratic Party in New York State.
Both have said they could contest the general election on other parties' lines if yeah. they lose. So, you know, you win the primary doesn't necessarily mean you won the race, but it's a pretty good indicator.
Sean Ryan says that if he doesn't win today, he will not run on another line, and I call BS.
I think
he'll take the working families line.
Okay, but I think it... If he does not win tonight, the writing is kind of on the wall.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you could take the line or not. I don't see you as the field expands and you get more people, including non-Democrats voting.
Right.
I don't think he has as good of a chance as Chris Scanlon does or somebody else in a general election if he loses today.
Do you like that ranked choice system that they have in New York City?
I don't know. I do and I don't. I don't like how long it takes them to figure out like that. That it should not last this long. I mean, this is America. Like, we have, I've got AI I can ask anything for. I just made a 10-mile radius, Joe, around my house to figure out where the nuclear plant can go.
I want results by tonight.
Right. Like, there's no reason you should not have the results in the vote counted by tonight, especially in a local election.
Yeah.
Like, give me a break. Come on. So, for that reason, I really don't like it. I do kind of like the idea, especially in a primary where you might have a lot of people whose ideas kind of cross over to maybe that is the best way to sort through a bunch of candidates.
Right.
At once. You know, I mean, five people on the ballot tonight, like, would it have been better in Buffalo if you can rank all your choices?
And that's another one. Who benefits from, if there was ranked choice in Buffalo, which candidate would benefit from that second place vote?
It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
It would have been very... It would have been very interesting. Would have given us a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Could have dragged this on for a couple months. We would have had some guests booked over the next few weeks. I think that reason enough, though, is enough for me to say no. Unless you can do this all...
as quick as a regular ballot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of against it.
I like that reasoning, yeah.
But I don't hate the idea... especially, you know, in a primary. I don't think I'd like the idea in a general election. But I don't hate the idea in a primary. You just need to speed it up and get it done in a normal time.
Yeah, because I'm expecting that we have the results of the Buffalo primary race before I'm out of here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you should. And a ranked, maybe you don't have it the night, within 24 hours.
Yeah,
within 24 hours of the polls closing, I think that's a fair amount of time to be able to get that done.
But New York City media, hey, they got their scripts set for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, oh, my goodness. What's the rudest thing you can do on a cell phone, Joe?
Oh, it depends on the situation. But I would say I would say talking on speaker in public is pretty rude, and that includes the cell phone.
It's kind of an unfair question because I would not, I think we all would agree on this. It's not something I would think about. I would think of what you just said.
Yeah.
Talking on speaker in public. It's just... actually, no. Playing music or a video with sound in public.
Yes.
That is worse than talking.
Music off your phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Playing something off your phone where no one wants to hear it, but everyone does. That's probably number one. More so than talking on your phone on speaker, which isn't great. But I still think it's better than playing music.
I have to admit, I did that once. We were at an event last fall when the Mets were in the playoffs, and I saw the Bluetooth that was controlling the whole event, and I clicked on it and played OMG through the Bluetooth and then walked away.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, it's actually not the number one thing, according to a new survey by PC Mag. 92% of adults in the U.S. say it's unacceptable to do this. Snoop on a family member's device. 84% of adults say it's unacceptable to snoop on a partner's device.
You mean taking their device?
Yeah, snooping through, to take it and look through.
Yeah.
1 in 4 millennials claim it's acceptable to snoop through a partner's device, though. So maybe a little bit of a divide there, where 25% say it's okay. Snooping. So I think that's pretty, like, picking up someone else's phone and then just going through it. Yeah, I'd say that's pretty unacceptable.
Yeah.
In terms of rudeness,
it shows
though,
a trust issue.
Yeah, I read this a different way, though. In rude things you could do. And I saw unacceptable to snoop and device snooping. I thought this meant looking over someone's shoulder who you may or may not know at what they're doing on their phone.
Yes.
I think that's by far and away the rudest thing you could do.
Especially when you take a picture of it and post it. Look at the text this person in front of me sent.
Oh, like the people, you see that at games a lot.
Yes.
Where the person in front of whoever will be on their phone, then someone's taking a picture of like the text. I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for the person who, you know, someone's like zooming in on their ultra zoom new iPhone camera from a mile away and getting what you're texting somebody else. That's terrible.
That's pretty bad. They need one of those, you know, they got it for laptops if you're on the air, if you're flying. And it shields your screen so the person next to you can't look over and, you know, awkwardly look at your screen while you're either watching something. They need those for cell phones.
I remember I used to have it. The only time I ever used a screen protector, I used one like that, where it was if you were looking from the angle, you couldn't see.
Nice.
It blocked it out.
I like that.
But no, I didn't like having the screen protector on.
No. Well, I mean, I don't know why they call it screen protector. My phone's not that old, and it's got cracks all over it, and I was told this was the best screen protector of the
podcast. Don't use a screen protector.
Okay.
It's all BS.
Yeah, I see that.
It's a sticker.
Yeah.
It's a clear sticker.
I see that.
What are you really going to do? You're holding the pieces of glass together when it eventually shatters.
That's exactly what's happening here.
I've never cracked... Now watch. I've never cracked a screen on any iPhone I've had.
So this one, I had my last iPhone for almost 8 years. And it was getting bad, but it did not have any cracks on it. Brian, I've had this since October, okay? And I fell in the parking lot a few months ago, and that guy gave me a little crack at the bottom. I'm convinced all these other cracks are just feeding off that crack.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nothing happened to the screen. I had dropped it, and then I fall on it, put this little crack in the corner, and ever since then, all these other cracks have started showing up.
Yeah. No, I think you're on.
Yeah.
I think you're on to that. Over half of adults say sending or receiving a text or email written by ChatGPT or AI is unacceptable.
I agree.
I do this.
You send text through AI?
Not text. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to send a text through an AI. Or I don't. My phone is not that smart. But emails? Not. I won't type out an email. I'm not going to send you an email and it's AI. But in quick responses, which I do a lot in the morning, like while on the air, it'll have on the Gmail, on the bottom, like those little buttons you can press.
That is technically
press.
AI.
It is AI generated.
Yep.
Where it's like, okay, thank you, or something like that. Or
I have
like,
used those. Yeah.
Copy that or anything. Click, click, and then it's sent. I use it.
Yeah.
I'm doing other stuff. I'm talking on the air. I'm doing this. It's so easy.
I have done that. Yep. Especially if I'm on my phone and I see something pop up and it's someone that needs a response quickly, I'll use the AI generated.
This is the one that I believe in the survey, but I think in real life too, is the greatest generational divide. 75% of adults say this is unacceptable, but 40% of Gen Z are okay with it. Do you have a guess? Cell phone etiquette. 75, three quarters of adults say no. But almost half of Gen Z say it's fine.
Oh, taking videos of unsuspecting people when they're walking by?
No, that's okay. I think more than 40% would say yes for Gen Z on that, though. That's a good guess. Using texting, emailing while actively conversing with someone else. Using your phone during conversation.
Oh, I hate that.
You're talking to somebody, you're whatever it is, at work, at home. While texting or doing something else on your phone.
And Gen Z says that's acceptable?
40%. So the majority don't.
Okay.
But still, I think 40% is low. I think 75% is low.
Yeah.
Of people who say that's unacceptable amongst the adults. I think it's right up there with the looking over your shoulder.
Can I guess the 25% of people who said it is acceptable? Or I'm sure that number is, I'm sure there were more than two spots, but 25 that didn't answer unacceptable?
Yeah.
People who think, my life is so busy, I'm so important, all that stuff.
Yeah.
They just have to be tuned into their phone.
I got so much going on.
Yeah.
Oh, this is important. Or they do it almost to seem like they're busy or important.
Yes, yes. Do you ever get secondhand embarrassment? I mean, I've been, you know, at a restaurant or something with my wife, and you look over, and there's obviously a couple, and you can usually tell if a couple's just started dating or whatnot, and one person's like on their phone while the other's talking to them, and like, here I am a table over getting secondhand embarrassed for the person that's trying to hold the conversation.
Yeah. Do you think they know, the person talking?
That I'm secondhand embarrassed?
Well, no, that they should be embarrassed. They should be firsthand embarrassed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That this isn't going to work out?
That's good. Well, they're probably on the Joe Beamer, you know, thinking like, well, I'm already talking. I'm not going to stop now because it'd be even more awkward.
Just keep this train going.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She's clearly enjoying it or not noticing it.
Or maybe I'll finally say something that gets her attention and she'll look up for a minute.
But that to me is like being on the phone while talking to somebody, especially if you're initiating the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Or supposed to be, you know, like you're coming in like, all right, you know, hey, what's, and then on your phone too. Oh, brutal.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I am definitely guilty of looking at my phone when I shouldn't be, okay, or getting distracted by my phone. But when I'm having a conversation, I'm trying to be into the conversation and not look away. That is one thing that I think I'm pretty good at.
I don't even like I think it's rude if I'm at a, now obviously a ton of people disagree with it. If I'm at, even if I'm expecting to hear from somebody, if I'm at a show, a concert or something, and a band is on, I won't look at my phone.
Well, no, I'm there for the band. I don't get to see them
even
again.
Even if it's not the band that I'm there for. Like a band is not, yeah. You know, especially a lot of these smaller shows where there's not as many people.
And you know they can look right around. At you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't look at my phone. I want to give the band, even if I don't really care that much, it's not who I'm there to see, I don't have a ton of interest, I'm going to give you my attention for whatever. And if I have to use, like if I'm expecting to meet somebody or whatever, or expecting a phone call, I'll leave the area and like go to the back before I pull out the phone.
Right. Yeah.
But I see people doing that all the time. I feel so bad.
Just down their phone while they open.
You see people on their phone at shows taking video all the time. And I guess that's, you might like that if you're playing. Like, oh yeah, spread the word.
Yeah.
Of
especially
us.
If you're early out. Yeah.
But there's people just like texting right in front of you. Like you're playing music. You're loud.
Yeah. You're trying to make it onto the scene.
Somebody like watching. Whatever's going on.
That's why, you know, as much as I've been guilty of doing a concert video, which I haven't the last few concerts, but I've been guilty of doing that, I do love the idea of, hey, lock your phone away, because then I have an excuse of not getting back to people. Yeah, I didn't get back to you. I was at a concert.
Yeah. You don't even need an excuse. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get back to you. I didn't see it.
You could, but, you know, I like having the built-in excuse.
Yeah. I just like, sorry, I'm not, it's not on me all the time. Not paying attention.
Yeah.
I was doing something else.
You know where I was.
Yeah, figure it out. On the in the first part of the show, we were talking about the nuclear option for New York. The governor says she wants to build a full-scale nuclear plant, something that hasn't been done in a generation. Most of the people texting in kind of agree with that sentiment of you don't have to worry about it. Won't happen.
I like the positivity. I like the positivity.
I mean, what else are you going to say? That is the Western New York, right, way of thinking. Like, that's a true Buffalonian.
And you know what? History's on your side. It probably won't happen.
I would probably agree with you. All right, well, we'll be back tomorrow. Joe, of course, later on tonight, make sure you're locked into election night coverage here on WBEN.
Yes, we've got Carl Calabrese, Jack O'Donnell, David Bellavia. We'll also play back some audio from the mayoral candidates, and then 9 o'clock, starts at 7, I should have said that. And then at 9 o'clock, we will get into the results and break everything down till 11 o'clock or beyond if we have to on WBEN.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.